breakaway, a castaway, and a giveaway. A layaway, a castaway, and a giveaway. I had a sermon all outlined, all prepared, ready to preach, but something kept covering my mind and coming in front of that message, and I simply feel I must speak on this subject. This is not what you'd call a Bible message, though it does have Bible truth. But I had some unusual things happen to me this week, and I met three very unique personalities, and they told me to tell you something, and I thought that I should. First person I met is the person that I call a layaway, and the second person a castaway, and the third person a giveaway. It's been a very busy week for me. I left here Monday and flew to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, where I was taken by a car to Latrobe, Pennsylvania, where I preached Monday night and Tuesday morning and Tuesday afternoon and Tuesday night. And then I caught a plane back here and spent Wednesday here and left after the service and was driven to O'Hare Field and caught a plane for Nashville, Tennessee, where I was taken by car to Murfreesboro, where I preached Thursday morning, Thursday night, and three times Friday at Murfreesboro for the 38th anniversary of the Sword of the Lord. And I've never had anything quite this unusual happen to me or anything exactly like this, and I thought I ought to share it with you for today. Three men came to me at different times in Murfreesboro. The first man was a layaway, the second a castaway, and the third a giveaway. 6 years ago, in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, at the Bill Rice Ranch, I had been preaching the morning message. We went down to the dining hall there by the lake. I was sitting, for some reason or other, eating by myself. I don't know why, because usually I eat with Dr. Bill or somebody. But I was eating by myself. A fellow walked up to me and he said, Dr. Hiles, I'd like to meet you. And I said, I'm Jack Hiles. He called his name. He had a look of conviction on his face. He said, I'm not saved, but I want to be saved. And I said, if you want to be, you can be. And so I proceeded to tell him the wonderful story of Christ. I've told it across this country and around the world. And I told him the wonderful story of Jesus Christ. But he wouldn't receive it. He said, I ought to be saved. But he said, not now. Later. Later. I said, look, friend, you don't know you'll have a later. You don't know, but what this is the last chance you'll ever have to receive Jesus Christ. Great big tears rolled down his cheeks. The next year, I went back. I was teaching the soul winning course in the afternoon. I went down to the dining hall to have supper, and after I'd had some fellowship and a meal, a fellow walked up to me and said, do you remember me? I said, sure, last year you were here. You weren't saved, but you wanted to be, and I recall how you cried and didn't get saved. Are you saved yet? He said, no, but I'd like to be. And I said, man, you better hurry. You don't know when you'll have when the last chance you'll have will come. 4 years ago, I was back. The same man came back to me. Looked like he had aged 20 years. He walked up to me and he began to weep and he said, Reverend Hiles? And I said, yes. He said, it's too late. I said, what's too late? He said, it's too late for me. I said, what do you mean? Who are you? Don't you remember me? And I said, I'm sorry, I don't. And he said, 2 years ago, I came to you telling you in the dining hall I wanted to be saved, but I wouldn't do it. And last year, I said the same thing, but I wouldn't do it. Now he said, Reverend, and he began to cry. And he looked like he was 20 years older. He said, it's too late. It's too late. And I said, why? He said, I crossed the line since last year. I've never seen a more pathetic-looking figure in my life. You say, preacher, do you mean that happens? That people actually say no to Christ so often and so long until it's too late? That's exactly what the Bible teaches. My spirit will not always strive with man, says Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3. Three times in Romans chapter 1, the Lord reminds us that God gave them up. I mean, He gave them up. And somehow, time between the last summer and that summer, God had given up on this fella. And this fella said, I can't be saved. It's too late. I had preached last Friday morning, and a great crowd of people had lined up to get me to sign their Bible. You know the fad of signing Bibles, numbers of folks to shake my hand. When suddenly a fellow in white walked up to me. Looked like he was a male nurse, but looked down, his shoes were dirty, and obviously he had been doing manual labor. I found out later that he worked in the drywall business. And I said, he wasn't dressed to come to church. He had on a white outfit and dirty shoes. And he said, do you remember me? And I said, sure. I said, you're the fella. Yes, he said, I'm the fella who waited too late. He looked like he's 70. He couldn't be over 35. I have never seen a man age like that man has aged. His eyes were squinty and wrinkled around like this. His brow was furrowed like this. And his lips always quiver and are sort of puckered like this as he talks. The man looks like a peach that's been left out in the sun too long off the tree. And he said, I'm the fella. And he began to tremble. And he said, I'm the fella that waited too late. He said, I'm going to hell. I'm going to hell. I said, well, why do you say that? He said, I waited too late. He said, when I said, 4 years ago, I think it was, 4 years ago, in the dining hall of Bill Rice Ranch and said no to you, he said, I didn't know it, but that's the last chance I had. I waited too late. I waited too late. And then he said to me, I think, he said, you're not on the radio here anymore, are you? He said, I want to hear you. He said, I'll pay for the broadcast if you'll tell me how much it is a week. I want to hear you. And I said, do you feel like you ought to be saved? He said, I waited too late. Now, this man is no fool. This man is somebody. This man, if you had talked to him 5 or 6 years ago as I did, you would have known he was a man of intellect and a man of at least a normal or above average IQ. And he was really a man who was articulate and gracious and kind. No nut, this fella. No moron. No idiot. No screwball. This fella is no fly by night. This is a real solid man. But he said, Reverend, I went to it. And then he began to cry and he threw himself on my shoulder last Friday morning. And he threw himself on my shoulder and he said, don't you have any longer for me? And I said, look, I've got to change. I've got to have a bite to eat. I've got to get back here in less than an hour and 10 minutes to teach a 2-hour lecture on soul winning. I just can't. He said, don't you have any more than 3 minutes for me? He said, you're the only man in the world that will listen to me at all. And he said, I waited too late. And as I walked away, he said, hey, Reverend, could I just say one more thing? And I went back and I said, what is it? And he began to cry and he said, tell them not to wait. Tell them not to wait. Do you know, dear friends, this matter of crossing a line after you said no to Christ too long? Did you know it's a reality? I've met person after person in my life who said, no, I don't want to be saved now. I'll wait till tomorrow. I'll wait till I get older. I'll wait till I have more time. I'll wait till my family's reared. And yet they somehow or other cross the line and they don't want to be saved. And if they do, they can't. And I can hear this man saying, I waited too late. I waited too late. And then he threw himself on my shoulders and said, tell them not to wait. Tell them not to wait. And so I come to you this morning, as I've come to so many people through these years, and I say, you may someday wait for the last time. And you may say, not today, but tomorrow. But tomorrow, God may have changed his mind about it. And the Holy Spirit of God may take his flight and rest upon another. Tell them not to wait. But something else happened to me, and it's so strange it would happen. Do you know that before I left Bill Rice Ranch on Friday, a fellow walked to me who was a castaway. He said, Dr. Hiles, I wanted to meet you. I've heard about you. I've read your sermons. I've heard you on the radio. I've heard your tapes. I want to meet you. And I shook his hand, and he said, old man. And he said, you remind me of, by the way, old man, did you know they've lowered the pension for the Social Security to 60? Did you know in 14 years I'll be eligible for Social Security? I wish they'd raise it to 90 so I'd feel like I was younger. Think about it. And by the way, in less than 14 years, you will. You're like a father to me. But the old man came to me and he put his hand out and he said, you know why I like you? Well, I could think of many reasons why you ought to like me. And I said, no, I don't. He said, because you remind me of me. Old man, You remind me of me. And then he began to cry, and he said, Dr. Hiles, and he used the word, I'm a castaway. I said, what do you mean? And here's what he said. He said, Dr. Hiles, I was once just, I preached like you do. Why, he said, there was a day in my church when we had the blessings of God and people came down the aisle. Now, he said, not as many as you have, not near as many as you have, but he said, every Sunday people came to Christ. And he said, I used to knock on doors and I used to win folks to Christ and I used to be a soul winner. But he said, I got tired. I got tired. And I told the Lord, I'm going to rest for a year. I didn't intend not to come back. So I got concerned about the deeper life, so-called, type ministry. And I decided to just not have the pressure on and not have the pressure on all the time and not be pushing my people and not push myself. And he said, Brother House, he said, I asked God for a rest and I decided I was too tired. And he said, I can't get it back. I can't get it back. And the strangest thing, he said to me, Less than 3 hours after the other fellow had said, tell them not to wait. This old man began to sob. I mean, his body shook. And he said, Dr. Hiles, tell them not to stop. Tell them not to stop. Well, I was stunned. I just had a fellow say, tell them not to wait. He said, tell them not to stop. He said, when you get tired, keep on going. When you get weary, don't quit. He said, when you stop serving God, you may never get back there where you were before. Now, I'm talking to somebody this morning who wants to give up your Sunday school class for a year. You're going to lose something you may never get back. I'm talking to someone this morning who wants to quit your bus ministry. You're tired and you're weary. You may lose something you'll never get back. Why don't you better still just turn to Isaiah 40:31 and read the Bible and find out that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Listen, there is a definite truth that physical stamina and strength can be gotten without a week or 2 weeks in the Rockies. How? Wait upon the Lord. They that wait upon... People oftentimes come to me and they say, Brother Hiles, I wish I were like you. And I say, what? A boundless bundle of energy. Never get tired. You ought to see me get up some morning. I say to my leg, please move. It says, I've been moving too much lately. I said, please move. I woke up Thursday morning, funny enough, because I think I talked about it Wednesday night. But I woke up Thursday morning, and I don't know where, I tell you what, I sat up in bed, and I thought, let's see, Pittsburgh, Los Angeles, Dallas, where is it? And I looked out and I said, it's raining. It must be Hammond. It took me 10 minutes to figure out where I was. I told you one time, it's been now a year ago, I guess, I stayed in 4 different motels in 4 different states on 4 consecutive nights. And I recall on the third night, about 4 o'clock in the morning, I got up to go to the bathroom and it was, of course, dark. And so I am... And see, it was on the fourth night. And so I got thinking, now, where am I? And it was dark, and so I didn't want to turn up. Because when I open my eyes, I can't go back to sleep. So I always keep my eyes shut. And so it didn't make a difference if I opened it, because it was dark. And so I thought, now, I know where I am. And I'm in a certain place, but that's where I was the night before. And I recall that the way to get to the restroom was to go about 10 steps this way and turn right. The door was the right. Except I wasn't at that place. And so the restroom was to the left in that place. So I walked about 10 steps, and then I turned right. And I started to go through the restroom, but they'd moved the door since the night before. And I fell over a little table-like thing, hit my shin, fell over it, hit my nose right on the floor. Turned around and sat up and said, where am I? Of course, all of us get tired. Everybody gets weary sometimes. But don't quit because you get tired. If all the tired people quit, nobody would work. Don't quit.
And the old man said to me, he said, Brother Hiles, he said, I've seen the day when I preached like you do, and I had the zeal you have, and I was after souls like you are, and I wanted to rest. And he said, Brother Hiles, I quit. I lost my zeal. I lost my fire. And that's the thing I've tried to keep. I'm 46. I've been preaching now 27 years almost. And I've tried to keep my zeal, and time again I've said, when I walk in the pulpit, I could hardly lean up against the pulpit. I've said, Dear Lord, I don't ask you for a thing except let me have my zeal, my fire, my desire, my passion, my compassion, my fire. Don't let me lose it. And this old man said, tell them not to quit. And ladies and gentlemen, because we become the first largest Sunday school in this world, or were last year, doesn't give us any license to quit. I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table and a higher plane that I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground, onward, forward, upward, never stopping, never quitting, always reaching high, always pressing forward, always reaching higher, always going forward, never going back, never stopping, till Jesus comes or death calls us home. Tell them not to stop. Tell them not to stop. I was stunned. It had been only 3 hours or less since the fellow had looked at me and said, it's too late for me. Let me say this morning to those of you who are not saved, if you've never yet received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you have never taken time to say yes to God, let me plead with you, receive Him if you feel the slightest desire to be saved this morning. If there is the slightest touch of your heart this morning, if there's the slightest desire in your soul this morning to be saved, in God's name, you don't know how long that touch will be there. You don't know how long that desire will be there. Someday the heavenly dove shall lift and fly away to some other soul and heart. And you shall wander for the rest of your life saying, I waited too late. I waited too late. I've said this before here, but I could call 12 names at least right now, and probably 25, of people who once walked in this auditorium and felt conviction, and they cried, and they clogged the pew, and they trembled while I'd preach, and they were convicted in tears that rolled down their cheeks. And they can walk through those doors now, and not the slightest twinge of conviction. They can sleep through a service, or they can yawn through a service, or look at their watch and wonder what's happened. What's happened? I know what's happened. The Spirit of God said, I'm not going to beg you forever. I'm not going to beg you forever. Let's suppose that Mr. Helton here had come, Mrs. Helton. When you met her, how old was she? I know she was blind when you married, but how old was she? About 20. Folks, Max had said, I want you to marry me. And she said, I will, but not now. Let me think about it. Now she wishes she had a thought about it. Let me think about it. Max came back the next year and said, would you marry me now? And she said, no, I will. I plan to marry you someday, but not now. Max came back at 35 and said, would you marry me? She said, no, I want to be old enough to be sure I know what I'm doing. He comes back at 50. Would you marry me? No, but I'm going to someday. I just want to wait till I get the right feeling. You'll never get it from him. Right feeling. Comes back at 65 and says, would you marry me? She says, Hey, would you marry me? She said, let me turn my hearing aid up. I want to wait and be sure I know what I'm doing. You think Max is going to wait like that? Do you think Max is going to wait for 45 years so she makes up her mind? Do you think God in heaven, who gave His Son to die for you, and whose Son went to Calvary and shed His blood as your sacrifice, do you think God's going to hang around and say, please, and I beg you, and I beg you? No, sir. The day will come when the Bible says God looked down in heaven and laugh at your calamity and mock you. And you'll come and say, I want to be saved. And God will say, I want to be saved. Well, Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. He'll laugh at you and mock at you. You're not going to trample under your feet the precious blood of Christ all your life and get by with it. God's name, if you're not saved, run to Calvary. Don't wait.
I was down in Texas last week before last preaching. Great big old husky fellow named Bobby Woods walked up to me and he said, "Do you remember me?" I said, "Bobby, I couldn't forget you." He said, "I thought I was going to kill you one day." The next day was baby day. It was a Saturday. The next day was baby day. We were having baby day at our church and all the babies were going to come. And he said, "I had a little baby. Baby is now grown." He said, "You saw me over at Griffith Service Station and said, 'Bobby, won't you come to church tomorrow?'" I wasn't saved then. I said, "Nah, I don't want to come to church, big old guy." About the size of, oh, man alive. Better built than anybody up there, but big, wide sort of fella. Husky. And he said, "Nah, I don't think I'm going to come." And he said, "You know what you said to me?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "You said to me, 'I guess a man won't come to church on baby day is about as mean as the devil.'" And he said, "I almost slugged you." Said, "I guess it's about as mean as the devil. You turn around and walked off and stomped your foot." And he said, next morning I was there. He said, "Way back in the back on the right. Way back in the back." And right in the middle of my sermon, I was preaching on "Don't wait, you may cross the line." And that fella got the idea he may not have to the end of the sermon to cross the line. He jumped up while I was preaching and took off down the aisle and said, "I want to get saved now." If I were you and I had the slightest desire in my heart to be saved, if there were one iota of conviction in my soul, I'd respond this morning. One of these days you'll come to that line after you cross. You'll never have a chance to be saved. Tell them not to wait. Tell them not to stop. I was at my motel room about to leave. One of the sword workers was coming to get me. Went to check out. I went to get some ice. Fellow walked up and he was a giveaway. Man was middle-aged. Said, "Dr. Hiles, I want to tell you how much I enjoyed your preaching." Said, "God called me to be a preacher 25 years ago. But I wanted to get out of school. I wanted to get me a job. I wanted to drive a new car. I wanted to have my fun. I was tired of study. God called me to preach," and I said, "No, Lord, no." And I turned down the call of God, and he said, "I have been miserable." He said, "I had got my job, I got my car, I got my money, but," he said, "I've been miserable for 25 years. And he began to cry, but he said, "Reverend, it's too late now. Or Dr. Howes, it's too late now." He said, "I've got a wife and 7 kids. He said, "I've got to make a living." "Oh," he said, "I preach in jails every once in a while." But he said, I'm not happy. And then he said, "Tell the young people to serve God now. Tell the young people to serve God now. My young friends, don't waste those years of your lives. Tell them to serve God now." I've told my people this. You folks never heard it. I was in Texas. I was a young preacher. I had a tremendous desire to have all the famous folks I could into my church. And I had a fellow named Bill Mills came in. Bill was an ex-convict. He had been sentenced to die in the electric chair and actually had sat in the chair. And they're about to kill him, but something happened that he was spared. And so he bought him an electric chair and got his old prison outfit and wore it around the country preaching and brought the electric chair right up on the platform. So I had Bill at our church and set the electric chair up here. He tried to get me to sit in it, but I wouldn't do it. I don't care if it's plugged in or not. I just wouldn't. There might be a little juice left in the last plug-in. So I wouldn't do it. I'll tell you what, I thought that was the greatest thing. Here's a fella in the electric chair and was delivered, an ex-convict, and he told about how God delivered him. And I heard about Freddie Gage. Freddie Gage, a little hoodlum, been on dope down in Houston, Texas, and been as mean as the devil. Got delivered. He told his life story. Freddie came in and told about how he used to be on the needle and God saved him. Man, I thought that was the greatest thing I'd ever heard in my life. I got Johnny Bisogno. He used to be his pastor of First Baptist Church, Houston, Texas now. I brought him in. He used to be in the Stan Kenton Orchestra, a dance band. He came in and told about how he used to be in the dance band and God delivered him. And I had a bunch of, I had murderers come in. Everybody that ever been mean as the devil, I had them in. Because I had a lot of folks mean as the devil now. One day, a little lady, one of the sweetest ladies we had in our church, came to me. And with a smile and yet a sobriety, she said, "Pastor, Would you give your life story someday? I said, me? I never was in a dance band. I never killed anybody. I've wanted to, but I never did. I never was in an electric chair. I wouldn't even sit in it for play. She said, I know, but I have two boys, Carmen and David. She said, my boys are getting the idea that you got to get in the dance band, get saved, if you have a good testimony. My boys are getting the idea, if you haven't been in the penitentiary and gotten saved, that you don't have a good testimony. She said, well, I said, do you know what my life story is? And she said, what? I said, I was born in the nursery, went to beginner department, primaries, and we called it intermediates, and young people's department, that's high school here. And then I got called to preach. I said, I never took a drink of liquor, never smoked a cigarette. I said, that's my life story. And she said, that's what I want my boys to do. And I said, hey, hadn't thought about that. So I preached the next Sunday night on from the Rolfer Room to the pulpit. From the Rolfer Room to the pulpit. The other day I got a letter from one of her boys. Name is Carmen Hartsfield. He wrote and said, dear Brother Hiles, this is one of your preacher boys. I'm pastoring a church in Maryland now. There's pictures on my wall. I was preaching in a church down south the other day. A fellow walked up to me and said, do you know me? And I said, no. He said, my name's David Hartsfield. So I'm a deacon here in the church. And the pastor said, he's the best deacon I got, too. You know why? They didn't waste their lives. And young people, that's what I want for every one of you. I don't want a single young person that grows up in this church to ever stand up and say, I was a dirty drunkard or a dance band player or on narcotics and God delivered me. I want you to stand up and say, I never did take a drink. I never did go out in deep sin. I never did get in jail. I just served God all the way through. Amen. That's the testimony I want you to have. Tell them not to wait to serve God. Tell them not to wait. I had me a sermon all outlined, but somebody told me to tell you something, and I thought I ought to do it. One man said, tell him not to wait. I can't be saved now. One man said, tell him not to stop. I can't get back what I had. And one fellow said, tell you young people not to wait to serve God. Ladies and gentlemen, we only have one life to live. Won't be long. Really, honestly. I know, I guess it's because my birthday just passed. And next year, it's on September 25th. Make a note of that. September 25th. I've already planned it on that day next year. But what's yours, Doc? The third. That's September. Mine's on the 25th. That's 2-5. But you'd be surprised how many cards I got from people all over the country that were visiting the days I said that. And only said it 51 times last year. Maybe that's what it is. But you know, the truth is, we don't have long to live. It won't be long. What else matters except to serve the Lord Jesus? Young people, serve Him now. Plan to give Him the best of your life. People of First Baptist Church, let's keep going forward for God. And if you're not saved, don't wait. I wish you could see that fellow. I've thought about having him come to church and talk to you, and I may do it. I wish you could see him. And a long time after I went to bed that night, I saw that white uniform and those dirty shoes and those crinkled eyes and that furrowed brow and that little mouth saying, Dr. Hiles, tell him not to wait. Tell him not to wait. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, may the unsaved not wait till tomorrow or even till tonight. May our people keep on going and not stop. And may our young people give their lives to Thee while they're young. God forbid that these people should become castaways, layaways, or giveaways. Our heads are bowed in prayer and our eyes are closed. Everyone is still in quiet. I wonder how many would say, Brother Hiles, Everyone find a seat, please. No moving around now. This is too crucial a time for anybody to be up or moving around. Everyone is seated, please. I wonder how many would say, Brother Hiles, I wasted too many years. I wish I could have grown up in this church as a child, a teenager. I've wasted a lot of years. I've given away too many years. I've wasted many precious years, the writer said. Pastor, I want to raise my hand this morning as a testimony to the teenagers. Don't waste those precious years. I could have done so much more for God if I'd given Him the best years of my life. But I tasted the dregs of sin or wasted years. Brother Hiles, tell the young people not to wait to serve God. How many of you middle-aged or older people, that's your testimony this morning? You wish you had a chance to live it over again. Would you raise your hand, please, all over the building? Keep your hands up for a minute. While your hands are up, I want all the teenagers to look around now. All the teenagers, look around. Look around. These folks are begging you not to waste those precious years. You can bow your heads, kids. You can put your hands down, folks. Kids, I beg you. Young man sat in my office last night. He wants his own way. He wants to go his own route. He doesn't want to give his life in service for God. Oh, give God the best years. The best years. I wonder how many would say, Brother Hiles, I got tired of serving God. Got weary. Not of the battle, but in the battle. I got weary. Now, sometimes I wanted to quit, and I've been tempted to rest a while. No, Brother Hiles, I don't want to lose what I had. I don't want to lose it. I don't want to lose it. Brother Hiles, I've been slacking for God. I've not been serving God like I used to. But this morning, I'm going to pledge God to get back in the battle, and weary though I may be, to keep on keeping on till Jesus comes. I slacked up some, preacher, but I'm going to get back in the battle. I'm not going to stop. Would you raise your hand, please? All over the building. All over the building. All over the building. God bless you. You can lower your hands. Now I wonder how many would say, Brother Hiles, I'm not even saved. I don't even know that if I died today, I'd go to heaven. But I know the day may come when I won't be able to be saved. But this morning, I do feel a desire. I want to go to heaven. This morning, I do feel something in my soul. I'd like to become a Christian, Brother Hiles. Would you pray for me that I won't wait too late? Tell them not to wait. 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 I wonder how many would say, Brother Hiles, pray for me. I don't know that I'm saved, but I want to know. God, pray for Brother Hiles, pray for me that I won't wait too late. Would you lift your hand, please? You don't know that you're going to heaven. God bless you, sir. Who else? You don't know that you're going to heaven, but you want to know it. And you'd say, Brother Hiles, pray for me. God bless you. I see you. Are there others quickly on the lower floor? On the lower floor. God bless you. Yes, there's one. There's another. Who else on the lower floor? In the balcony, there's one. God bless you, sir. Yes, I see you. Who else on the lower floor? You'd say, Brother Hiles, pray for me. God bless you. I see you. And God bless you back in the back. I see you. Are there others? Yes, God bless you. On the left, I see you, sir. Are there others? You'd say, Brother Hiles, I don't know that I'm saved, but I wish I did. I want to go to heaven, and I want to know I'm saved. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand, please, on the lower floor? In the balcony on my left. The east balcony, you'd say, pray for me that I might be saved and know it. Would you lift your hand, please? The balcony in the center, would you say, pray for me? I want to be saved and know it. Lift your hand, please, would you? The balcony on my right, would you raise your hand and say, include me in the prayer? God bless you, sir. Two grown men up there in that balcony. God bless you. Our Heavenly Father, may not a teenager in this building ever waste a year of his life for anybody but Jesus. May not a teenager in this building ever waste a second outside the will of God. And may our people keep on keeping on, never stopping, never slowing, always pressing forward. But, oh God, today, these in this service who know thee not, may this be the day when they come to Christ. Now our heads are bowed.